Blog Talk Radio.
On today's show, we're going to talk to Ben Lurie, author of Stories for the Nighttime and Some for the Day, NYC poet Puma Pearl, and Mark Brunetti, publisher of the Idiom Zine. So, first of all, thanks for listening. This is The Unknown Show. I'm Bud Smith. I'm your host. I don't know what I'm doing, so just bear with me here. But I want to tell you about submissions that just opened up for the Uno Kudo magazine. It's an art meets lit book that is currently looking for writers, looking for art submissions. The window is open between now and April 30th. So please send anything you have, anything you would like to be considered, to Uno Kudo, which is UNOKUDO at gmail.com. And appreciate you sending anything you have. So far on today's show, I'm going to have on Ben Lurie. Ben is an American short fiction writer based in Los Angeles. He is he's also the author of the collection entitled Stories for Nighttime and Some for the Day, which is published by Penguin Books. He's had a story read on This American Life, which is a podcast I love, and he's also had a short story ran in The New Yorker. I'm sure he's tired of people talking about that all the time. Ben, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. How's it going?
Hey, it's going pretty good. What's new?
Oh, nothing. I just got back from AWP last night. Now I'm
What's that?
I don't know. It's a good question. I was trying to figure it out. It's some kind of writer's conference. It was in Boston. It's like this giant room full of like thousands and thousands of people walking around like they're in a maze.
Yeah. Are the tables set up in like a maze? And like when you get to... Yeah, the farther you get into the maze, the harder it is to get into the publications or some shit.
Maybe, I don't know. It was split up into a couple floors. Yeah, I don't really know. I had just one after another, all of the most awkward conversations of my life.
Yeah.
Tried to figure out what to say to anybody or what anyone was doing there.
Yeah.
But it was fun.
And yeah, it looked like fun, man. It looked like a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Did you have to take part in any panels or anything, or are you just there kind of chilling?
No, I did a couple of readings, but I don't really do panels, you know? I can't think fast enough.
I can't either. Who can, you know? They're always awkward. Sit there, watch.
Some people are good at it. Some people seem to have a lot of opinions about things.
Yeah. My opinions are about, like... old Nintendo games and whether pizza is splattable.
Yeah, what kind of food I like and don't like. Yeah.
Hey, man, it was really cool meeting you in Los Angeles, a month ago, 2 months ago?
Yeah, that was fun.
Got to drink a few beers, which is always a good time. Now, I'm assuming, like, you go up to AWP and it's just, like, a fucking swarm of people everywhere you go. You just, like you said, like awkward conversations. It's all fun, but is it like sometimes when I meet other writers, I kind of like think that they, like other writers, seem kind of like as desperate as like heroin addicts, kind of like they're looking to score.
Everybody's looking. Yeah. Sure.
Yeah, totally. So
it was strange because like there are some people there, some writers there who are really, really famous, you know?
Yeah.
And you can just see everybody just sort of staring at them as they walk around. And even when they're people who you haven't read and you don't even know if you like them or not, you're just really aware of these super famous people. And, you can just – there's a lot of jealousy in people's eyes, including your own. Yeah. It's weird.
Like you're talking to somebody and then, like, all of a sudden you see your eyes glaze over because – you're thinking about James Franco or something, right?
Yeah.
You can just sit. You can see the thought bubble above their heads is fantasizing about James Franco. You like snap your fingers. Come back. Come back. Focus here on me.
Yep.
So
Why didn't you go? I thought you were gonna go.
Oh, fuck, man. I was gonna go. I'm like a lot of people in the world. I got a job and shit, and they laid people off where I work, so I had to stay and cover for the people that I got laid off, which is, it's unfortunate. But I kind of feel like, I'm young. I'm only 13 years old, so I got all the time in the world to.
That's right.
You know,
nothing
AWP
but time.
Will, huh?
Nothing but time.
Oh yeah, nothing but time, man.
Yeah,
yeah, it's great. Fuck, I wanted to go, man. But you're gonna do, can't go to everything.
No, it's true.
Yeah, but
where are you though? So you're in New York.
What do you want, like an exact address? Or
yeah, yeah. You gotta know where to send the pizza.
It's great. What I usually do is I order a pizza, and I give them like slightly the wrong address, and then. And I call and I complain. I'm like, where the fuck is my pizza? And I'll be able to to stick my head out the window and see the guy on the street, and I'll go down and get a free pizza out of it because it takes 32 minutes to get to my house, you know. So
that's good.
Yeah, man, I'm in like uptown New York, uptown Washington Heights, like by the George Washington Bridge.
Right. Did you guys get the blizzard?
No. We get like all the major weather events, like the hurricanes and snowstorms and shit. We don't get that. Like me and my wife, we like fill the bathtub up with water and tape the windows and stuff, and it just get real drunk, but nothing happens. So it's like a metaphor for life in general, you know.
What color do you paint the windows?
Well, we tape them just like I just do it because she likes. Yeah, we only did it one time with the hurricane, Irene. Tape the inside, like, with an X.
Yeah.
You
didn't do it for Sandy?
No, she was like, well, fuck that. Irene didn't kill us, so
right. We
don't need to do it again with Sandy.
Yeah, indestructible.
Yeah. So you live in L.A., and you get all kinds of cool shit out there, man. Riots and fires and mudslides.
Yeah.
And
we actually had an earthquake the other day, but I was in Boston enjoying the blizzard.
Well, fuck that. You missed it.
Yeah. I guess it wasn't a real big one, though. We haven't had a real big one. The Northridge one was like a month before I moved out here. And ever since I got here, like 18, 19 years ago, they're always talking about how the big one is coming, and it still hasn't come. So I don't think it's coming. Yeah.
Yeah. And then do you get like the old timers who won't shut up about the earthquake, you know, like
sure.
You missed it then.
Yeah.
If only you'd been here 20 years ago, you would have fucking felt the tremor.
Yeah. The scary ones are when people talk about the riots. You'll be driving around with people and they'll point at buildings and be like, that burned down, this whole area was destroyed. And it's like it's just like your neighborhood, you know. It's hard to understand that.
I was up in, luckily I got to go to Greece. It just was luck, you know. We know somebody, they have a house out in Greece, and we got to go. And when I was there, we went up the mountain, and there was a monastery up there on the top of the mountain. When you drive up, and they make their own honey and wine and stuff there. And it was crazy because the place had been burnt down by the Turks, you know. So that's once. And then the Nazis came a little while later, and they burned it down again. And you're standing there, you're looking at this thing that looks old as fuck, but it's, you know, it's only 60 years old or whatever. But things aren't permanent, even in even up in the mountains in the middle of Europe. So
I feel like I read a story about that place, although I suppose there are a number of places like that.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if I wrote a story like that. I maybe you saw it on Facebook or something. A link or whatever, but maybe that was it. There's I want to ask you though, while we're on the topic of stories, what's first of all, you had this great collection of short stories that came out with Penguin, Stories for the Nighttime, Stories for the Day. It was an awesome collection. Anybody who hasn't read that yet, read it. Obviously, Don't be stupid. Read the book. And what's going on with new projects? What are you working on?
Well, I'm working on a couple of things, but I spent the last year working on a children's book, also with Penguin. Dial books for young readers, a picture book.
Yes.
You know, although they don't let
cool.
me draw the pictures, which is probably best for everyone. So that's sort of this ongoing thing.
Yeah.
And getting together another collection to send to Penguin, which I'll probably send pretty soon. See how that goes. Yeah. I don't know.
That's
you know,
cool.
I just write stories and then try and figure out what to do with them.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, I'm supposed to ask these questions. You know what I mean?
Cool.
You don't need to get irate.
I'm just,
you understand?
I'm holding against you. It's all right.
This is just how this works. You know, it's just a
it's
radio
cool.
interview. It's not a personal attack.
No.
So you're are these news stories? They it sucks because I know the answers already, but I have to pretend like I don't. You know.
All right. I'll give you different ones.
Yeah. Yeah. The news stories, are they similar to what stories for the nighttime stories for the day were?
Yeah, well, I'm sort of working on two different books at once, although
uh-huh.
I think the second one's not going to be done for 50 years or something. The first one is stories that are in the same sort of vein.
Yes.
And the second bunch, there are similar kinds of stories, but they're all in first person and they all kind of take place in the same town.
Cool.
So I guess, like, theoretically, they're sort of like a linked thing, although they don't really make a bigger story yet anyway.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, but, yeah. Did that answer
awesome.
That question?
Fuck yeah, man. That's,
yeah.
That's a great answer.
Thanks.
Yeah.
I'll stick with it.
Any way to get validation, that's what being human is, right? So I wanted to ask you... do you have anything you could read today? Would you be willing to read any stories? Or?
Yeah, sure. I can give you a choice. I assume you want to hear something new because I don't want to read something old again.
Yeah, I want to hear something
yeah.
new.
All right. So I'm going to give you a choice between these two things that I seem to be reading lately.
Uh-huh.
One of them is a little out of character. One of them is this one about President James K. Polk.
Uh-huh.
That I did... a couple of friends of mine put together this collection of short stories before the election where everybody had to write a story about one of the presidents, and I got James
yeah.
K. Polk.
Yeah.
And then I got another one, which is about a squid.
Yeah.
That's not about a president. So it's your choice. The one about the squid is a little longer than the one about Polk.
Well, read the Polk one,
and then we'll
maybe
go
I can
there.
Maybe I can get you drunk and you'll read the other one, too.
Okay, I'm already a little drunk, but we could keep going.
Yeah, all right, yeah, I'm sending the text right now to the place to, what do you, just pin on the wall or what?
No, I'm on the honey bourbon these days.
All right, cool. All right,
but I'll drink whatever, you know, it's
yeah,
cool.
Yeah. I'm easy to, right?
Yeah.
Cool, man, James K. Polk.
James K. Polk. All right, this is all absolutely 100% true. James K. Polk used to keep bonsai trees up on the roof of the White House. Not a lot of people know that about him, but it's an important fact. In 1845, James K. Polk had over 200 trees. Most of them were under 3 inches tall. One was so small, people couldn't see it. "Are you sure it's there?" people would say. "Oh, it's there," James K. Polk would say. And the people would look at him. "How's the country?" they'd say. "The country," he'd say. "It's okay." At night, James K. Polk would lie in his bed and think about his tiniest tree. It wasn't just that it was so incredibly small. It was perfectly formed in every way. "What's wrong with these people?" James K. Polk would say. "Why don't they appreciate my art? I've grown the best bonsai tree of all time, and they act like I'm doing something wrong." Then one night, James K. Polk had a dream. And in his dream, he went to Japan. And for some reason, everyone there had giant eyes. "I bet they could see my tree," he said. So in the morning, James K. Polk started making plans. He went to see the Secretary of the Navy. "I'm going to need a boat," he said, "that can make it to Japan. and a few of your very best men. You can't go to Japan, the naval secretary said. There are big issues to be dealt with here. Big issues aren't always the most important, Polk said. He put his trees in the boat and set sail. The voyage to Japan was long and arduous, and by the time they got there, most of the crew was dead. A lot of the trees had been eaten for food, and the rest had been thrown overboard. The only bonsai tree James K. Polk had left was his almost invisible one, which he'd secreted away in an inside vest pocket. It was still in perfect condition. When he set foot on the shore, James K. Polk knelt down and kissed the rocky ground. Then he looked up and saw the Japanese welcoming party coming, but they all had normal-sized eyes. It turned out that people in Japan couldn't see his tree better than anyone else. Nevertheless, they were very nice to him, treated him with all due respect. So James K. Polk stayed. He loved life in Japan. For the first time ever, he felt at home. He took a course in calligraphy and wrote some haiku. He studied Zen. The monk said he showed promise. But back in America, trouble was brewing. The Japanese, people said, they've stolen our president. And they built an armada and mustered an army, and they sailed across the sea to get him. The Japanese lookout saw the ships coming. Don't worry, they said. We won't let them take you. They loaded their guns and lined up on the shore, and Polk saw that a great war was imminent. All right, Polk said, and he held up a hand. Let's not make a big thing about this. And he said his goodbyes and put his tree in a suitcase and walked up the plank into the ship. All the way back, people lectured Polk about the issues and problems of the day, about how he had to take things seriously, undertake big projects, be a leader of men. So when he got back home, Polk did a lot. He took the Oregon Territory from the British and California and Texas away from Mexico, even fought a little war over it. One of the last things he did was one of the biggest. He broke ground on the Washington Monument. Everyone thought this was absolutely wonderful. It earned him the title Least Known Consequential President. And at the end of 4 years, Polk calmly stepped down. I won't be running for a second term, he said. What? People cried. But you're a great leader. I've done everything I set out to do, Polk said. Of course, people argued, but Polk stood his ground. He stood his ground and he walked away. He still had his little invisible tree, and he didn't leave it to the Smithsonian for display.
That was fucking awesome. That's great, man. What's the name of that anthology, man? That's going to be in.
Well, you know, it actually didn't come out. Something happened with the publisher. The publisher went out of business, so they actually printed the whole anthology, all of the stories on the Melville House blog. So you can read it there on the Melville House blog. Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. I like how you, before you start, you say, you know, this is all true. This is all true, by the way. Which is, it is true. It's a true story.
It's totally true.
It's like, I was just, the other day, I was clicking around, Nervous Breakdown, and I actually, how that website's set up, it's like links to links, and it's writing, different writers, you know, well, you know, everybody else I'm explaining. And, I stumbled upon a fucking hilarious thing that you wrote probably a long time ago by now about meeting Demi Moore in like a Ralph's. It was like, I'll kind of paraphrase the story because you just read a whole story. It's like, you first of all, it's like all little snippets of you running into celebrities, kind of like, I think like Owen Wilson parks his car on the sidewalk and then Forrest Whitaker is driving by or some shit, and you run into Robin Williams at the record store.
Yeah.
But then there's this part where you say you're hanging out at Ralph's and you realize the beautiful woman standing in front of you is Demi Moore, and she's getting tired of standing in line because I guess the clerk isn't there, so she's like annoyed, and she hands you $5, and you're like, okay, I'll pay the clerk when he comes back. She leaves, and then. and then you wind up paying for your shit when he shit when the clerk shows up and just palming her $5. I was like, that's fucking awesome. That sounds like, whether that's true or not, it's, that sounds like the American dream right there. And
totally true.
Yeah, that's fucking great, man. I wanna take $5 from Demi Moore. Not even to meet her. Even if she would just mail me $5, I'd be happy.
I'm sure she will after the show.
Yeah. Well, I'm gonna friend her on Facebook and tag her with this interview. Think she's reached her limit yet?
She's probably
got room for one more.
She probably goes up and down, you know.
Yeah, as the notoriety
wait for your window
waxes
to open.
And wanes. Yeah. Yeah, I'm like checking every day. Maybe I can be, you know, actually, I think an easier route, America, all America, why don't we all follow Demi on Twitter and try to get her to send me $5? It could be like a new movement. Oh, God.
Something to get behind.
Jesus Christ. Yeah.
Okay, man. Will you read
the squid story?
I can read it, yeah. It's a little longer. It's probably like twice as long as that one.
I'm into that.
Okay.
I'm into that if you got enough water and juice or whatever.
Here, let me take another sip. Okay. I'm ready now.
Thank you.
All right. You're welcome. So this one is called The Squid Who Fell in Love with the Sun. Once there was a squid who fell in love with the sun. He'd been a strange squid ever since he was born. One of his eyes pointed off in an odd direction, and one of his tentacles was a little deformed. So as a result, all the other squids made fun of him. They called him gimpy and stupid and lame. And when he'd come around, they'd shoot jets of ink at him and laugh at him as they swam away. So after a while, the squid gave up and started hanging out by himself. He'd swim around alone near the surface of the water, gazing upward, and that's when he saw the sun. The sun looked to him like the greatest thing in the world. It's just so beautiful, he'd think. And he'd stretch out his arms and try to grab hold of it, but the sun was always out of reach. What are you doing? The other squids would say when they saw him grasping for it like that. Nothing, he'd say, just trying to touch the sun. God, you're such an idiot, the squids would say. Why you say that, the squid would say. Because, the others would say, the sun is too high. You'll never be able to reach it. I will someday, the squid would say. And the other squids laughed, but the squid kept trying. He didn't give up. He reached and stretched and reached. And then one day, he saw a fish jump out of the water. I should try jumping, he said. So the squid started trying to jump to reach the sun. At first, he couldn't jump very high. He'd lurch out of the water and then fall right back in. But he kept trying more and more every day. And in time, the squid could jump pretty high. He could make it 8 or 9 feet out of the water. He'd make a big dash in order to build up some steam, and then he'd leap up with all his tentacles waving. But no matter how high and how far the squid jumped, he never could quite reach the sun. You really are a stupid squid, the squids would say. You really get dumber all the time. The squid didn't understand how what he was doing was dumb, but it was true that he didn't seem to be getting much closer. Then one day, in mid-jump, he saw a bird flying by. Wings! I need wings, the squid said. So the squid set out to build himself a pair of wings. He did some research into different kinds of materials. He'd found some ancient books in a sunken ship he'd discovered, and he read the ones about metallurgy and aeroscience. And in time, the squid built himself some wings. They were made of a super lightweight material that also had a very high tensile strength. He'd had to build a small smelting plant to make them. Looks like these wings are ready to go, the squid said, and he leapt up out of the water. And he flapped and flapped, and he rose and rose. He rose up above the clouds and flapped on. It's working, the squid said. He looked up toward the sun. I'm coming, he said. But then something happened. His wings stopped working. Up that high, the air was too thin. Uh-oh, the squid said, and he started to fall. He fell all the way back down to the sea. Luckily, he wasn't hurt. He'd had the foresight to bring a parachute. He even had a backup for emergencies. But he splashed down in the water, and as he did, his wings shattered. And of course, the other squid laughed again. "When is this squid ever going to learn?" they said. But the squid no longer took notice of them. You see, the squid had had an idea, all the way up there at the top of his climb, just as he was perched at the outer limit of the atmosphere. "What I need is an interplanetary spaceship," he said. Because at that very moment, the squid had finally grasped something. He'd finally understood the layout of the solar system. Before, he'd been bound by his terrestrial beginnings. Now he understood the vast distances involved. Of course, building an interplanetary spaceship was complicated, much more complicated than a simple set of wings. But the squid was not discouraged. If anything, he was excited. "It's good to have a purpose," he said. So the squid set out designing himself a spaceship. The body was easy. It was the propulsion system that was hard. He had to cover about 100 million miles. "I'm going to need a lot of speed," he said. At first, the squid designed an atomic reactor, but it turned out that wouldn't provide power enough. He'd gotten pretty heavily into physics by this point. "I need to harness dark matter and energy," he said. And so the squid did. He designed and built the world's first dark matter and energy reactor. It took a lot of time and about 1,000 scientific breakthroughs. "All right," he said, "that should be fast enough." And finally, one day, the squid's interplanetary spaceship was built and ready to take off. The squid put on his helmet and climbed up inside. "Well, here goes nothing," he said. He pushed a single button and took off in a burst of light and plowed straight up out of the atmosphere. He tore free of Earth's orbit and whizzed past the moon, burned past Venus, and sped on past Mercury. There in his command chair, the squid stared at the sun as it grew larger before him on the screen. I'm coming, my beautiful sun," he said. "I'll finally hold you after all this time." But as he got closer, something strange started to happen, something the squid hadn't foreseen. The ship started getting hotter, and then hotter and hotter still. "Why is it so hot?" the squid said. You see, the squid really knew nothing about the sun. He didn't even know what it was. It had always just been a symbol to him, an abstraction that filled a hole in his life. He never even figured out that it was a great ball of fire. That is, until this very moment. But now the truth finally dawned on him. "That thing's gonna kill me," he said. He slammed on the brakes, but the ship just kept on going. He threw the engines into reverse and they whined, but still he kept going, getting closer and closer. "I'm stuck in the sun's gravity," he said. He did some calculations, and he realized he was lost. He'd gone too far. He was over the edge. Even with his engines all strained to the limit, he had only a few hours to live. And as he sat there in his chair, just waiting to die, something even worse started to happen. The squid started ruminating and thinking about his life. "Oh my God," he said, "I really have been an idiot." Suddenly, it was all just painfully clear. Everything he'd done, all his work, had been for nothing. "I'm a moron," he said. "I wasted my whole life." "That's not true. You built me," the ship said. And the squid thought about it, and he realized the ship was right. "But you'll be destroyed too," he said. "Yes," said the ship, "but I have a transmitter. If we work fast, at least the knowledge can be saved." So the squid started working like he'd never worked before, feverishly as he fell into the sun. He wrote out all his knowledge, his equations and theorems, clarified the workings of everything he'd done. And in the moments left over, the squid went even further. He pushed out into other realms of thought. He explored biology and psychology and ethics and medicine and architecture and art. He made great leaps. He overcame boundaries. He shoved back the limits of ignorance. It was like his whole mind came alive for that moment and did the work that millions had never done. And in the very last second before his ship was destroyed and he himself was annihilated completely, the squid sat back. "That's all I got," he said, and the ship beamed it all into space. And the knowledge of the squid sailed out through the dark and it sped its way back toward Earth. But of course, when it got there, the other squids didn't get it because they were too dumb to build radios. And the story would end there with the squid's sad and lonely death. But luckily, those signals kept going. They moved out past Earth, past Mars and the asteroid belt, past Jupiter and all the other planets. And then they kept going out beyond the solar system, out into and through the darkness of space. They moved through the void, through other galaxies and clusters. They kept going for billions of years. And finally, one day, untold millenniums later, they were picked up by an alien civilization, just a tiny backwards race on some tiny backwards planet, all alone at the darkest end of space. And that alien civilization decoded those transmissions, and they examined them and took them to heart. And they started to think, and they started to build, and they changed their whole way of life. They built shining cities of towering beauty. They built hospitals and schools and parks. They obliterated disease and stopped fighting wars. And then they turned their eyes toward space. And they took off and spread out through the whole universe, helping everyone, no matter how different or how far. And their spaceships were golden and emblazoned with the image of the squid who spoke to them from beyond the stars.
Wow, holy shit, thanks for reading that.
Oh, you're welcome. I have to take another drink of water. Okay.
I want to thank you for coming on, man. It's been a real pleasure having you come on and shoot the shit and read those great stories.
Oh, thanks. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I hope you keep it real out there in L.A., and hopefully we'll get to drink some beer again soon, all right?
All right, sounds good. I'll talk to you later.
Catch you later, Ben.
Bye.
The next person we're going to pull on the show is Puma Pearl. Puma
Hi.
Pearl is a performance artist, and I'm going to introduce you to Puma. I'm sorry about that. Puma Pearl is a performance artist and a widely published poet and writer. She is the author of two chapbooks, the award-winning Belinda and Her Friends, and the recently published Ruby True, and one full-length collection, Knuckle Tattoos. She was the co-creator, co-producer, and main curator of D-Day Productions, which mounted shows in various New York City venues. And her newest venture is Puma Pearl's Punk Pandemonium, which launched at the Bowery Electric Map Room in 2012 and brings poetry together with rock and roll. She performs regularly with a number of excellent musicians there. How you doing, Puma? What's going on?
Hi. Hi, bud. How are you?
Pretty good.
I didn't get the name of your guest.
That was Ben Laurie.
Okay. He was good. Yeah.
He's a cool dude, man. He's a really cool guy. I met him in person in L.A. recently, but been reading his stuff over the years online. Started out in the small press publishing small press stuff and. As he said in that interview, one thing leads to another, and he's got a book out with Penguin now.
Cool. Penguin, that's not nice. Well, I tuned in, and I heard something about Demi Moore and Ralph, and I said, okay, that's an L.A. guy, you know?
Yeah. And are you like a total, I know you live in New York City, and how long have you been here?
Well, that's funny, because I was looking at the questions you said you asked, and you said, how long have you been a New York City native? And I'm saying, okay, dude, you want to know how old I am? Because I've been
No.
I am total native. We're talking. I used to go on a lot of these radio shows, and people just used to say they wanted to make a cartoon character out of my Brooklyn accent, you know? So, I was born here.
Yeah. So you know your way around town, obviously, and what do you think is the best part or best neighborhood in New York going these days?
Oh, you mean which part of the NYU dorm do we want to live in? I'm on the Lower East Side, so I think I'm like in the lower southern wing of NYU since they bought up the whole fucking downtown. You know, I don't know if there's a best part to live in. I don't know what a struggling artist. Who wants to come, not a struggling artist, but a young artist, a young person.
Yeah.
You know how people used to come here, like Dylan came here, like when in 60, Bob Dylan, like came here like in 1962 with no money and nowhere to stay, and wasn't a problem.
Yeah, he just
like if you're
he,
in,
you, just
you
stay
know,
here, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah,
like if you're like in Minnesota or where the fuck now, like, you know, how are you going to come here? How are you going to do that? There was some kind of symposium with Patti Smith a couple of weeks ago, and her advice was like, don't come here.
Don't come,
like,
yeah. Do you
like, make it happen,
right?
Yeah. Like, make it happen somewhere else. Like, help build up Detroit. She mentioned Poughkeepsie, but, like, don't come here. Not that I don't want you here, but, like, how are you going to live? You know?
Yeah, how are you
going to
live?
I don't know
there?
How people do it anymore. Yeah. Yeah.
Plus, like,
what do you, yeah.
It's shit, like, totally different because it's so widespread online now than it used to be, where, like, obviously, everybody wants a scene, an in-person scene, something you can go to see, like, how you do your great shows with bands and poets, and go to see readings, go to see performances. But for, like, the struggling artist, let's say, for instance, like a writer, I mean, you can write anywhere, and you can have a pretty big audience from any corner of the world now, and that's different than it used to be back in, like you point out, maybe Dylan is a good example of that. Nowadays, he could have recorded those songs in his bedroom anywhere.
That's not a matter of, yeah, I mean, no, but the places Dylan went, you know, the places he started out with, let's say like Folk City and all of the other places, none of that, hardly anything's there, like nothing is there anymore. And on a weekly, it seems like on a weekly basis we're losing more places, so it doesn't really have anything to do with the internet. I think that's a whole different story. I mean, that's why we can't sell books or get paid. That's another story. But the whole thing is like we're living in a city that is now for rich people, and we have a mayor that only identifies in that way.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, so we're living in a very divided world now. You know, there's the haves and have-nots, and, like, the city has been Manhattan and anything, like, you know, convenient to Manhattan and parts of Brooklyn. Like, Brooklyn got so fucking cool now, you know?
Uh-huh.
I mean, when I was growing up in Brooklyn, it was not cool. Like, now
Brooklyn
is cool. But you know what? Where I grew up, like, Gravesend and Bensonhurst, places like that, they're still not cool. You know?
Yeah.
You know,
maybe like 30 years, right?
The cool
parts just keep getting farther and farther away from the
having lived here all my life, I never thought I would see a day where people were paying like a couple of grand to live in Bushwick, you know?
Yeah.
And fucking,
crazy,
you know,
right?
I mean, the only reason I live here is because I live like all the way downtown, and I got into like, you know, a subsidized housing kind of thing. So I'm like a shareholder, and I have a view of the East River, and I'm sure if there was a way they could get this away from us, they would do that. But where I live, like, no, there's really nothing here. Like, I'm in a part of Manhattan where there's like nothing here, so nobody really wants it that much yet.
Yeah.
But it could happen, because I heard they're turning the neighborhood Pathmark into a Whole Foods, so that's never a good sign.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, pretty soon they're coming, right?
Yeah, I mean, I used to do a lot of my shows, you know, when I mentioned DJ Productions in the bio.
Yeah.
Well, the main place that we did it in, two places that were our main places. We did in other places, but we did it at the Barry Poetry Club and the Yippie Cafe, which I was at last night. My former partner in DJ Productions, Big Mike, is still keeping it going over at the Yippie. But the Barry Poetry Club closed and then merged with this, like, upper crust supper club thing called Duane Park. And I was passing it last night on the way to the Yippie, and I saw the menu. And the menu, like, they're having, like, $26 entrees and stuff. And this was not the Barry Poetry Club that we were in, you know. This was not the Bowery.
Yeah.
You know?
Well.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Shit changes, you know? Sucks.
I mean, there's still some good places. And you just, what it's come down to is you just got to think. You can't think the same way you used to think. You got to make something new happen, which is why I started doing this stuff over at the Barry Electric.
Yeah.
You know, that wasn't a poetry venue. That's why I started kind of working with musicians a lot. And the good thing is that usually when I'm doing poetry now, I'm not speaking to other poets.
Yeah. It's a whole new audience. You're not reading for writers as much. Getting away from just reading for writers, and that's most poetry readers.
Right, and I'm not just reading for writers, exactly. And what's kind of cool is that whenever I do it, I get people come up to me and tell me that they didn't think they liked poetry, because, you know, people have ideas of what poetry is, like whatever was shoved down our throats in school. So that's good, you know.
Well, yeah, damn right. I wanted to ask you, could I get you to read some poems? Or do you have anything you'd like to read for us?
I'll read. Let's see. I put some stuff aside. I'm going to read one. I'll start off with something that's very new. Okay. And it's called Gravity. Excuse me. The night the birds fell, I dreamt of two women. They perched on platforms above the clouds, bodies coiled like snakes, wild hair, long necks, one blonde, one dark. Unwinding their bodies, they stepped out, arms raised, tumbling gracefully downward, free falls to planet Earth, a globe forever in rotation, where time is measured in darkness and rain and the short, hard lives of caterpillars. The next morning, I step over broken wings, feathers, and high-heeled shoes. Birds and beautiful women have fallen from the sky, magnetized by planetary forces. Balls have stopped bouncing. Clocks do not wind. High tide drifts out to sea. Oak trees sway, waiting patiently. Birds and women have fallen. The earth has lost its force. Only the stars still matter.
That's really something else. What's that poem called?
It's called Gravity. And there's a YouTube of it on my Facebook page, and I guess it could also be found on YouTube. I did it with the musicians, Jeff Wilson on guitar, Walter Stedding on violin, and Danny Ray, I think, was there too, on saxophone. I did it for the first time that I ever did it. I did it with them. And so I have a YouTube of it. It's one of my newest, and it kind of came out of a dream, you know.
I'm gonna find that. I'm gonna put that up on the this radio show has a Facebook page, and I'm gonna put that up on the link so everybody can check that out. Check out the performance of that.
Well, if you want, I'll just send you the link so you don't have to, you know.
Oh, cool.
Go look for it. I'll send the link to your Facebook.
Cool.
And your Facebook email, okay? Or I'll share it or do whatever afterwards.
Cool. Can I get you to read some more?
Yeah, I was thinking of maybe reading two from Ruby True, because I know I had mentioned to you that I'm thinking about, like, well, I'm not thinking about it. I'm working on these short stories based on this character.
Uh-huh.
So these two will be from my last chapbook that's called Ruby True. And the first one's called Homebound. Ruby was punished on lockdown. She could not leave the house without permission. Permission was not to be granted. She stood on one leg like a pelican, watched for his car. She planned to surprise him with her blonde wig and black sheath dress. She looked like a starlet. His astonished look was comical, a Ralph Cramden double take. Baby, you're the greatest. He grew more and more enraptured, came close to an unplanned ejaculation. At midnight, he sang Up on the Roof. I keep on telling you, she chimed in. He didn't remark on the nasal tone of her voice. Usually he did. After he left, she brushed out the wig, threw the black sheath dress reeking of sweat and cum into the bathtub, climbed in with it. Coriander and Coltrane. She thought back to Berkeley. Why do they always fall in love? And see, that one, Homebound, is also a short story already with that character in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to read the last poem in the book, which is called Walls. My friend Belinda got raped 3 times in one day. She said the last time was the one that really fucked her up, which meant that the first two weren't all that bad, just what we had come to expect. Nobody knew where we were. Homeless was a rooftop, not a diagnosis. Before throwaway kids and crusty punks, we were just there, without keys or food stamps. Rape was a part of street life, prostitution of four-syllable words. Call it what you like. At some point it was over, and a few of us got to grow up, rub sun streaks onto broken skin, smile into cameras with teeth and no eyes, feel like an alien at weddings and holiday parties. My scars trickle silently along my arms in random patterns. I remember every story, but no longer tell. Don't look at me with your sad eyes. How can I ever explain? When I lie in bed at night, listening to rain or traffic noise, I am struck, almost senseless, by the coolness of the sheets, the safety of my concrete walls.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm really excited to hear some of those poems read out as short stories, because as poems are fucking fantastic. And I love when I get to read a longer version of a poem. Like, you know, sometimes I think, like, you know, not to reference Bukowski with your writing, but I'm just saying, like, stumbling upon his short stories and then reading the poem versions of it. And it's just so cool seeing it broadened out and fleshed out. So I'm really excited to see that collection when it arrives.
Dang. So someone that I, like, really relate to in that way is the poet and writer Kim Adonisio. Because she did a book of poems called Jimmy and Rita.
Yeah.
Which I believe just came back into print. It was out of print for ages. And those two central characters are very very character-driven narratives like mine. And I'm like, oh, because she did it first. Except I didn't read hers until I had my style already, but she turned those characters into a novel called My Dreams Out in the Street. Like, reading her work showed me, like, really how that's done, you know?
Well, that's awesome. That's the best way to approach your own work, is finding, you know, I love that. Just finding the stuff that really clicks and really sets the idea on fire, you know?
Yeah.
Hey, listen, I want to thank, I'm happy you live in New York, because I'll come see you perform, we'll hang out, and I'm really happy you were able to find some time to come on the show today.
Okay, great. Thanks, Bud, and I will send you that link, like, right now, okay?
Great. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, thanks for having me. I hope to run into you soon.
Yeah, right on. Have a good night.
Okay, bye.
Okay, next on the show, we're going to have on Mark Brunetti. Mark is a publisher of the Idiom Zine, and also he runs the imprint Piscataway House. He's very active in the New Jersey poetry scene, and quite frankly, he cracks me up, and he hates cops, and I think he's in a motorcycle gang. Mark, you there?
Hey, bud, what's happening?
What are you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty good. How about you?
Great. Are you you at a poetry reading tonight?
I'm going to head over to one. There's one over in Highland Park. It's kind of going on now, but... I'll be there towards the end of it, so...
Cool. And is there another one tomorrow? I heard...
Tomorrow night at Barron Arts Center over in Woodbridge. An idiom poet, actually, Nicole Greenwood, she's going to be reading there. So if you're in the New Jersey area...
Yes, I am, man. I work in Linden, so I might swing by.
So
tell me about the idiom. What is the idiom? What's the deal with it? What's going on with it?
The Idiom Magazine is something I started about 8 years ago, pretty much from my bedroom. I bought a photocopy machine. I guess it falls in the zine category, but usually zines don't make it past the second or third issue. The Idiom has been going hard, heavy, five issues a year for 7 years. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I call it a zine because it's the old school style. It's like you said, you bought a photocopy machine. It's cut and paste to an extent, right? It's just that cool do-it-yourself homemade thing that's just kept on going. But you're right, man, they don't usually last longer than a couple issues, right?
Yeah, well, I don't want to pretend too many. There are some zines out there that have gone longer.
Well, of course,
Making it homemade is what allows me, you know, I give it out for free. So that's what keeps it going, makes it cheap, you know, so.
Yeah. It's funny, I don't know if I ever told you the story, that the way that I got into submitting work, small press stuff, was by finding a bunch of idioms stuffed in the toilet. at the Brighton Bar. I was I played a show at the Brighton Bar with a band. I was in a noise band, and packing all my equipment up and dragging it all out to my truck. I came back in. I said goodbye to the rest of the guys. I came back in to use the bathroom, and the toilet was literally stuffed to the brim with like probably 25 copies of Disney, because you drop these things off in mass at the bars. I've seen them around. I've seen them around Jersey Shore. You just go to places and there's all these great idioms there, you know, great writing in them. But, you know, people at bars are fucked up sometimes. And somebody took all these stuff in the toilet. So I walk up to the bartender and I say, hey, what's the deal with the toilet, you know? And she hands me my first copy of the idiom. And I'm like, what the fuck is this? And I'm looking at it, and I see the thing, you know, calls for submissions, and that's the first place I ever sent something to. So
nice idea. The Brighton Bar was one of our first places where we started handing it out and, you know, leaving copies there for people. So you go down in history with the idiom, but you are the first and only winner of the idiom poetry contest. I made the mistake during the third year or fourth year of the idiom of having a contest. Like, you know, when you have a magazine, people send you their stuff. Sometimes it's great, sometimes it's good, sometimes it's not so good. But when you have a contest offering money, people will send you anything and everything.
Yeah.
And I got the worst of the worst, but fortunately yours is one of the best. And that started our little relationship.
Well, that's what happened too. I mean, like you said, like you know, you get all this shit. I didn't know about the contest. I just sent something in, and I wound up all of a sudden my first publication. I think he just stuffed some cash in a manila envelope and wrote a little note and sent like 50 of these zines. And I'm like, holy fuck, this is great. All I did was send him a poem, and they sent me $50. I got to keep doing this shit. And you know, since then, I think I've been, you know, you don't get paid very often for stories or poems or anything, but that's what got the ball rolling. And it was been a long 8 years of that stuff. That was a poem about my friend burning down the video store.
A video store that you rented stuff from and you owed them money.
So what's going on with you went up to AWP? We're talking to Ben Lowry a little while ago about AWP. What was your impression of this conference, all these writers and publishing people up there? What did you think?
Yeah, I heard you describing it. I think my description is it's kind of like a third or fourth grade science fair. They have all the tables in rows, and everyone has their stuff to present, and you just kind of walk up and down them, and when you see the dinosaur diorama and you're interested, then you stop at the table and you see what their magazine's about, you know?
Yeah. How many copies of Idiom did you hand out there?
I made about 700 or 800 and just walking around, handing them to people, anyone I met, you know, hey, take a free copy of this.
That's great. You got any left?
Yeah, I got a little bag left. I actually got some envelopes sitting on my bed right here. I'm about to mail some out to some people who were in the recent issue. Bud Smith was in the recent issue.
Yeah, I got something in there. I'm really happy. My good friend Frankie Metropolis. He's got something in there. I saw something about an essay about Calvin and Hobbes.
That's my friend Claudia from Brooklyn. Yeah, she wrote it for school. And when I saw her put the subject up, I was like, oh, you definitely have to send that over to me. I love Calvin and Hobbes. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a huge Calvin and Hobbes fan, too. If my wife wouldn't, you know, divorce me, I'd probably have Calvin and Hobbes sleeve tattoos and shit, you know. But, you know, don't want to get, you know, divorced and shit over cartoon tattoos. It's not worth it.
Yeah.
No. So, so me and you have been working together on another project. You guys, your publishing house, end of your Piscataway house, in a novel. So that's going pretty good from my end. How's it going with Piscataway house? What's the plans other than my novel for the upcoming year? Is there any kind of a schedule? Are you looking for manuscripts? Are you interested in getting submissions?
Yeah, on our website, theidiommag.com, we got places where you could submit to the idiom, or if you have a book idea, we'll even take those under Piscataway House Publications. As far as future books, we have, I'll just dub it the Anarchist Notebook right now, but I met some kids who were, we were just sitting around at a house party last year, me and some friends, and some of the people I had just met, and we were telling kind of jail stories.
Have you been in jail?
Yeah, being in jail, but nobody had any good stories. It was always, I was drunk, I was in jail for one night, nothing good.
Yeah.
Then I look over at this one girl, and she's like, yeah, I was in jail for 3 months. And I was like, what are you talking about? You were in jail for 3 months. You're like, you look like a sweet, innocent girl. She's like, oh, yeah, me and my friend, we tried blowing up a KFC for animal rights. And they were animal rights kids, and they tried blowing up KFC for the chickens. So I was like, oh, that's an amazing story. You gotta write that story up and give it to me for the idiom. And she's like, oh, well, we have a letter that I wrote back and forth in jail, because it was her and her friend who tried blowing it up.
Get the fuck out of here.
I was like, oh, yeah, let me get that letter and I'll publish it. So the next week when I see her, she gives me a whole stack of letters. And I'm like, oh, I got to turn this into a book or something.
Yeah,
so,
that's badass.
Yeah, well, one of our forthcoming books is going to be this collection of letters that we transcribed, and then me and my brother Keith Baird, we asked him a bunch of questions just about being in jail and jail life. Who knows what it's like to be in jail, and the movies always romanticize it. So this is kind of like a real life reenactment of it, you know?
Cool, man. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That sounds like a pretty great project.
Yeah, it's gonna be pretty good.
So hopefully I get to run into you out here in the wilds. Maybe I'll catch you tomorrow night. I'm glad you called in. We'll have to talk again soon, all right?
Yeah, definitely. Just plug in the website, theidiommag.com. We'll put that out there. And then, we'll be around. So we got projects coming up. So.
Yeah, everybody, send Mark a poem or a short story for his different projects, and he usually stuffs like $50 in an envelope and just rent and mails it to you. So life's good, you know.
Now everyone's gonna be expecting their money.
I don't know, man. You never know. Maybe you'll. Dude, imagine that. You just start like draining your savings account and paying people. That'd be awesome, right? All right, man. I'll catch you around. It was good talking to you, all right?
All right, you too, man.
All right, be good.
Bye-bye.
Hey, I want to take a caller. You've been holding on the phone for a while. Who am I talking to?
I believe you're talking to Nick Fury from the Rips and Rap Show from Albuquerque, New Mexico. Just thought I'd touch base with you.
Hey, man, how's it going, all right?
Wonderful, bud. Liking the show, man, and appreciate all your wonderful cadre of interesting guests and liking the content. I'm glad we're working together on this tandem two-hour block with Blog Talk and the Literary Underground. It's been exciting.
Yeah, it's fun. You guys, you're going to do a whole show coming up in just a few minutes here. I'm glad you called in. I didn't know, the switchboard on this show, it's just, guys, I'm looking at like 1,000 different people just struggling to get on the show, and I'm glad that I clicked randomly on Nick. This is great, Nick.
Yeah, I was glad too. I appreciate that. So, and again, I really enjoyed listening to your show the last few weeks. It's been a lot of fun to connect with a different part of the country and see what other people are doing with their art forms, their creative crafts, and whatnot. So,
great. People are all doing some pretty cool shit. What where you calling from, man? You calling from like New Mexico, right?
I am. I am in Albuquerque, New Mexico, the home of the New Mexico Lobo basketball team. It's one of our claim to fame. That and, Bugs Bunny taking a wrong turn here. But it's a beautiful day here. It's been about 70 degrees today. We played golf. We jumped on trampolines with my homies from Occupy Underground Radio, Ben Hogue and Corey James Taylor and some other friends. It's been a good day. It's been wonderful.
Cool, man. That's great.
Well, thanks. So when we transition, when we're on the phone, we're going to learn in together. Are you going to hang up your phone, and will I just play the audio, or do I need to call back in as a host? How does that work?
Yeah, I thought you were supposed to call in as a host. What's your audio? I'll just play right now.
Yeah, it's the next one, number 37, The Bare Necessities, with Toasty, Epic, and with Baloo, Toasty, and Epic. And we'll certainly get this worked out, but it's a pleasure to be put next to such a great show as yours, man. You got a lot of crazy, cool, quirky, and very talented people that I've heard give their stories in recent poetry, so it's pretty cool stuff.
Oh, yeah, these fucking people are great. They're awesome. So, man, listen, I'm gonna play your clip. That's going to be it for the Unknown Show. I'm going to pass it off to Rips and Raps and Nick and all his great guys here. And thanks for listening, and I'll catch you guys next Tuesday. We're going to have on Robert Vaughn and Zarina Zabrinsky, okay? Have a nice night, everybody.
This is Nick Fury, and I'm coming to you live from Antarctica, which accounts for 90% of the world's snow.
Make them snore, you know?
We just wanted you to see what the world would be like if we didn't have pollution. Thanks, pollution.
Give me some more ice cubes for my drink from the North Pole. The following program has bad language. Listener discretion is advised.
Come on, get episode 36. Rich and Rap, Rich and Rap, Rich and Rap. We got Epic from BNN.
Rips and Raps, the Whistling Diction Show, starring Loki and Nick Furious.
More monkeys. Many, many monkeys.
Mindy makes mint marmalade. Okay? That's how I'm doing it. Good evening, good morning, good afternoon, and welcome to Rips and Raps, the Whistle and Diction Show.
Yeah. Glad to be on.
Man, this is Nick Furious. I'm alongside Loki. Got some great guests tonight. Got my man Baloo. And Mr. Baloo over here, we met the other night. Of course, we got my man Epic Beats in the house, BNN representing. He's on some production tonight, as well as bringing the voice. But this dude, we met him the other night at Low Spirits. And in honor of the bear...
Yo, yeah. Big Baloo here, back in representing ABQ all day, born in Texas. Here we go.
Bare necessities. That's right.
It is true.
We also have the infamous Super Nargas in the mother effing house tonight, alongside her counterpart, Princess Pink. Good evening and welcome to another Hitchcockian edition of Rips and Raps, the Whistling Podcast, Diction Variety Hour Show, Rap,
get the name
Freestyle,
right.
Cypher thing. With
what's
this
show called? Yo, you can listen to us every week on iTunes. Subscribe, give us a little rating, you know?
Yeah.
Search on there, Rips and Raps, Whistling Diction Show, it'll pop right up. Get it every week for free. Where else can they listen to us, Nick?
Well, you can, you know, in theory, where you're listening now, or go to ripsandraps.podomatic.com. And in addition to all that fun stuff, we've now been syndicated onto blogtalkradio.com/ The Literary Underground. And thank you all very much. blogtalkradio.com/ The Literary Underground is the place to catch Rips and Raps each and every week, the night before the new show airs on Wednesdays. So, you know, it's the bare essentials, it's the bare necessities. We're broadcasting episode 37 from Albuquerque right now, night in which, it was a nice day today in our town.
It was a really nice day. I heard it might snow again, though.
It's
April, glad to snow, wait for it.
Yeah, there's always one more. You think it's over, and then Albuquerque winter's like, what, bitch?
I know. I don't know, what do the girls think? I mean, y'all are into the weather. I mean, what does Super Nargas and Princess Pink think about that shit, eh?
I gotta know.
Done. We're really happy to have Sada One Love in the house tonight. We haven't seen her in a while, and we're happy that her artistic endeavors in the future will be coming right at you. You have something coming up, don't you? Can you say a show? The Reptilian Lounge this Saturday at the Box in Albuquerque, and
Golden Second, for sure.
But if you live in, like, Sacramento, you should, like, get on a plane, take the red eye from, like, Egypt, get on that shit, come to town, come to Albuquerque, get in, and then hang out with Sada One Love.
Albuquerque's where the cool kids are at.
Oh, and Jessica Helen Lopez. Last
hey, we know
guest
her.
On the podcast, Miss Jessica Helen Lopez.
We're a night of variety with the Reptilian Lounge.
I love the Reptilian Lounge. I remember doing that many years ago myself, and actually for a number of years, and just being so cool to see what Tricklock at the time was doing with it. And big ups to our community. Hey, if y'all want to be on our program and tell us about your upcoming events, Tricklock, you know, local venues, come on, give us an email at...
Yeah, ripsandraps@gmail.com. Send us an email. Tell us what's on your mind. Tell us how annoying the clinkling ice cubes are.
Whatever, I need another drink.
Margarita. We're drinking Costa Rican beer. We're always puffing on the finest. It's the Rips and Raps podcast.
Damn, that's a band.
So just fine.
Hey, who's got a pack of pipe? Got that pipe?
Right here, my bird.
All apart in my backyard. Cause let me tell you something, little Rick. If you act like that,
ooh,
vegan,
Doug.
Such a treat. Such a treat. All the wrestling of all.
It smells like love and open-mindedness, bro.
Right? Yeah. We were joking about that earlier. New Mexico surfers. We're like,
yeah.
Surfers from New Mexico.
There we go. From New Mexico. That's got a chip of deep. Yeah.
Surfing white sands and shit.
Yeah.
I had a three-footer once.
So.
But I'm full.
You had a... That's disgusting.
That sounds painful.
That sounds like a lot to carry, I'm just saying.
All right, well, we're about to smoke this. You're listening to Rips and Raps, the Whistling Diction Program... Whistling Diction Program.
Are you sure you want to do this, Nick?
I don't
you
think
okay?
We should move forward. That's it. You know what, people? We're done for the night. We'll see you next week.
Nick's off the island. We voted him off the island.
You can't vote me off this motherfucking island. Oh, no. Oh, no. You can't vote me off this island. Oh, no. Rips and Raps, let's vote. You can't vote me off the island. Cause I'm a suicidal reptilian lounge lizard. I'm gonna take you to the gizzard and rip it out your throat. Don't rap too loud at the microphone or it won't sound dope. I can always turn it up later. Remember that. We don't gotta make it snap. Rip rap with that. My man Loki on a set right here. Rips and Raps, furious rap, but I'm drinking no beer.
Yeah, bringing lots of beer in your ear. Coming queer and strange, that's how we do it, the range. Yeah, all up in your brain, in your main vein. Making it pulse, bringing the pain. Pain, how we doing it? Here on a podcast, dropping bomb blast. Nuclear, you heard me, sir. Blasting through Project U Radio. Here we go, gonna kick it with another flow. Let me pass it to the left hand side. With epic beats, where we doing all night. Take a ride, deep, deep into the darkness. Yo, epic beats, bitch, come on, spark this.
I'm more than an artist. When I get on the mic, device, I twist it up. This is how I go when I blaze and I twist the dutch. Every single time that I rhyme, got a double dutch. When I'm hitting it, spitting it double time. Gotta kick it with the visual, lyrical type of rhyme. Yo, I might pass it in a couple of bars, but this is what I do when I be fucking traveling past the stars. Off the planet, my feet, they be leaving it. This is what I do, cause my music believe in it. This is the truth coming out of my heart. It's a flow and you know that it's more than an art. But yo, get ready, yo, that jungle bullshit about to hit you. Got this dude coming through from the kitchen with the ginsu. Knife got the slice, knife. And this is what we do every day and night up on the mic.
5-5, triple rap, and tick for tack. Nigga better get back and grab your cat. Bring it to me and put me down. I got mad out, I'm a sad clown in a bad town. I don't care, though, about the way this should be. Mark for Simon, number 3, spin man, philosophy. Come and step with me, because the Armageddon ripped for me. I'm causing volcano flows every time that I flow. When hurricane winds into your dough, stop me right now before I grab that po-po. And then I throw it back on the ground and throw with kicks with this face bitch. Bruce Lee, talk me this shit.
Yeah! You better watch out. I'm the immortal Musashi, hotter than Hibachi and Hitachi, all plugging the surround sound. Yeah, I'm breaking it down cause I'm around y'all. I give you pounds and I'm giving it some daps. Cause the Rips and Raps motherfucking gentlemen are so dapper. On the crapper thinking of new ideas and new motherfucking ways to make you laugh and have shed some tears. That's what we do every week right here. Rips and Raps podcasting. Yeah, it's fantastic. Yeah, it can stretch like elastic. But a Fantastic Four dude, what's his name? The gay dude, the big old fucking whack dude, the black dude, I don't know what's up, dude. I just keep rapping around you in circles. Oh, did I do that like I'm Urkel? Fuck you. Throw jelly beans in your nose hairs.
What?
What?
Jelly beans on the nose hairs. Gonna hit the bowl, see if I care. if you're unaware. The shit'll get up in your hair and get tangled. Get all dready. I hope you're ready, cause like Mario Andretti, we're coming, we're speeding through right in front of you. Rip some rap, bitches.
You're listening to Rips and Rap, the Whistle and Dixon program.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We keep it going like a steam engine, continuously flowing, never knowing where we're landing. Ripping our parachute, my name is Brandon, but I go by Loki. You know that I'm smoking until we are choking. Yeah, you know that I got that smoke weed, all doing it all night. I'm fumbling my words, but it's alright, cause my mind is bright and shining when I'm rhyming, busting out hymen with correct timing in your eyelids. It's stuck behind them, I'm rhyming. Yo, Epic, get up on here and keep climbing. He said, keep climbing.
Yo, when I spit to the beat, I be hearing cymbals. Pianos in the background and people kicking the drum out of the house, but still I'm seeing women sitting on the couch and all they hear is a cappella. They looking at us thinking, yo, these fellas kinda crazy. That's why we spit the rhymes and blaze the Mary Jane seat. Yo, it just calms my fucking nerves, cause I go to work every day and I gotta deal with all of these jerks. This is simple as that, yo. The 9 to 5 got the flow and I'm on top of my dome, but I gotta let you know, this is how it is. The New Mexico kids and we reppin' it since the day of the birth, the day of the earth, it came to construction, but it's the same shit that I'll be bringing down with the pain. But these cats get past it, it's the plain view, and that weed caught me up, so I'll continue to do it. But I can correct it, and yo, I sue this scene, but yo, I pass it to you, kid.
They call me Big Baloo. I got the bare necessities. Come and sit with me, cause we always play necessities. I love to chill inside these Albuquerque streets, and I'm out crazy deep inside my brain. Hear the beat, it's so damn cold the way that I get slow. I love to stay so high that my mind will fly like a dragon in my mind. I fly around the whole town, spitting flames at the ground, scorching up your whole sound.
You're listening to Rips and Rap. That was our featured guest tonight. His name's Baloo. We also got Epic for you.
Yeah.
Just gotta get down.
This is Omar from the B-Side Players, listening to Rips and Raps with your boy Nick Fury and Loki.
B-Side Players? Oh, shit. Oh.
If you didn't know what we're doing, it's time for you to sit back and listen now. Come on now. You just gotta put on your headphones and roll up a slip. Get down for the count. Wake up, cause it's not the wake up show. But I can wake up though, cause I don't make no dough. I don't need a notice, I just need another rebel to push another mind across the bridge finish line. So I pull my music right, pull it like an old burro or a big old burrito. You know I'm like Judge Alito, Alito Shepherd. I got this shit right. Get on down like I'm a leper. I lost all my fingers and all my toes, but I came back to win the Super Bowl of old folks. Yeah, I did it here. I spit rips and raps in your ear. I gave it to you right there. Remember, right over there.
Over there, all the way to over here. That's how we're doing it, kicking my flavor up in your ears. Yeah, busting out your eardrums. You heard some bass rumbling, tumbling down a rabbit hole, and now you're stumbling out of control through a whole new world. Yeah, smoking a bowl that we're choking, that we're choking. Yeah, you know we're broken because our mind's shattered, but it don't matter. The love got scattered. We're trying to find it in every corner till we're blinded by the schemes that they're coming up with to stop us. It's alright, man, we gon' cop us some peace, and we gon' live in it discreetly, sweetly, puffin' sweetly, living so sweetly. Yeah, let me pass it, just take this shit and kick a little ass, bitch. A little ass, bitch. A little ass, bitch.
But I remember when my brother noticed that happened. I was like 16 years old. I didn't know what to do when he was crawling up the wall, and I was going to my mom's crib telling y'all, oh no, we should go to another dimension. When we was spitting these rhymes and I was calling my hints, and we was doing this shit since then. The day it was like the 9th grade when I started to play with these instrumentals, cutting these samples and making beats so people could hear the voice that we had, and we could teach the people on the street, from the rich to the poor, the ignorant to smart, and these people learned more from me than I had ever learned in school, and them books, and these fools, and these teachers, and these goddamn crooks. It's as simple as that, the instrumentals and raps, when we just do this in the music, and we kicking it back to the day. So I'ma have to say, this is what we do it for the people today. We got that rips and then raps,
glitz in them hats. People need to get their hands up, man. Clap with your hands up, clap. Y'all pass it back. Balloon, this is what we do. Y'all know that is the fact.
Clap, clap, rips and raps. Clap, everybody out there, just clap right now. I want you to feel the rhythm to the podcast, to this program. All right, we got a new MC up to bat here in a second, so we got to give him some love and get him up to the microphone. He's going to introduce himself and let him know where he's coming from, you know what I'm saying? I'm kind of stalling, though, because this beat's about to change, and I'm trying to give him some shit. Just got to clap it now. Clap it. Just keep clapping. Yo, tell everybody what you're talking about, my brother. Do it.
What? You probably don't even know this, but I flow shit so thick out my lips at a bitch. You hear that? He's wicked with the spit that be coming in. But I'm flowing like a spout, even you a lyrical crowd. You know I ain't doing the fluid, just for the clout. Even I bounce with an MC. You'll see that post, he wrote the heat for free on the street. Heavily to see face on the concrete. Yo, his eyes keep the creed, but keep your division. Your witch and I was just missing my rhymes. Motherfucker, you will soon find a die. Climb to the highest tower with power. You better cower as I shower this ass to rain. Plain and simple as I'm tearing you through. Your dimples play, better get back as I cripple you like a piece of paper. Yeah, motherfucker, I ain't a rapist, but I'll pay for every motherfucker coming my way. You know I don't play, cause I say the shady shit that be coming quick, ready to fucking leave you in the grass. Like I'm so sleep with them. Clap,
yeah, I will.
Clap, you gotta just clap. I bring it on back. Clap, just clap, yo.
You're listening to Rips and Raps, the Whistle and Diction podcast. It's Loki and Nick Furious.
Hi.
We love you guys. We really hope you love us too, okay? So I'm really big on interracial relations. When I get up on this microphone, I'm all across the nation. I'm not pacing myself any which way, but I'm coming at you like I'm throwing snowballs on a hot day. I'm like, what? Balls to the wall, crazy. Yeah, I'm like, baby, running from them kids, Dave. Hey, I'm hallelujah, let's roll it. I'm getting on down like I'm rolling. I'm a slipper loaded. I got it loaded. You know I'm overloaded, never. I break it down like my main man was Neville. Yeah, but I don't know one, no one named Neville. Not even a British man from somewhere over there in Great Britain. I'm just like a big old great kitten. Yeah, I'm feeling so smitten. I just want to tell y'all why this Rips and Raps program is so much to my. Yeah. Mr. Loki, tell him why you like this okie dokie type okie finoki.
Yo, my name is Loki, and I like interracial porn. I like sex between Jamal and Bjork. Yeah, I like eating Chinese pork. If you know what I mean, I'm rolling with my team. Smoking all kinds of green, we're looking mean, but we're really not. Come introduce yourself and you can smoke some of our pot. We'll share what we got, if you share what you got, we can make it so hot. We can vaporize it, we can get so hot till we can barely open our eyelids, yeah. I got a lid to smoke and I hope you're not broke. I hope you're ready. I broke it out. We gon' tear it up like confetti. But we ain't gonna throw it in the air. We're gonna throw it in the bowl. We're gonna smoke it through our head until we fucking lost control. We're doing it and we're doing it right. We're gonna do this shit, kicking rhymes all night. Alright, buddy, clap in your hands. Right from here to Afghanistan. I hope you know we got the master plan. I'm gonna pass it to Epic so we can do it right. God damn.
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 God damn.
Yo, can I even come off with what he said? Loki, you know he's just a master with lead. Still coming down from the heavens to chop you. Electric style, come back to Loch New. Wait, I meant to say that Lochness. I got this on lock, bitch. You better get ready because the topic is this. Yo, the bandwidth equipped with the flow. And you know that we taking a trip in like June. So get ready this Saturday up in Rio Grande. So you know that we got it on lock. And we gonna do another show for you and tell you how we doing it for the kids. The youth and the people who fucking wearing them lids. Back with them baggy pants with them kids. You wearing them shoes that they had back in the day when they dad didn't like what they was playing. They say, turn that music down in my pad, son. We'll get the fuck out because you know you didn't want to have fun. Nah, I had too much fun when I was young. So this is what I did when I started spitting up off of the tongue. Got them drums, started hitting sticks. And this is what we do when Greg gets down with licks. On the guitar, I spit four bars. And these people better get ready because we are in charge. We be living large one day, but still, you gotta understand it's all about the skill.
Yes!
We now bring you The Real Scoop with Joshua J. and Brian Lawrence. On tonight's program, we discuss national security. What does it mean to be a sovereign nation or citizen? We talk a little bit more with Joshua James Brian Lawrence about the cops. Yes, and how
how seedy and irritatingly evil they are. Joshua, take it away, my friend.
This is Josh. We've all seen The Matrix. Could you imagine The Matrix becoming a reality? Private government contractors now have the equipment and the technology to be able to 3D image inside of your home, look through your walls. Yes, this is the case. All law enforcement offices all over the nation and almost all over the world are now trained just like military. They've all acquired drones just like military. Yes, the military-industrial complex, the protectors of the city. Department.
Taking away Joshua, James, Ryan, Lawrence. Oh my God, are you okay?
Don't shoot the dog.
Fuck, just
don't shoot the dog.
We gotta find Josh, guys. I think that was the NSA.
They shot the dog.
Holy shit. And this has been a presentation of The Real Scoop with DJ
Need I say more? Need I say more?
Might be the last one. We don't know.
Might be the last one. He came from a faraway land. A masked avenger. When he was young, they took his father and his sister away. So he was raised with a little bit of some rage inside of his soul. And he just used it all to fester and make himself into a mortal soul. Make him into a soldier warrior. I'ma take out the creatures, creepers. I'ma tell ya, yo, Loki, tell the story too. You know about this shit, the dragon was there. He was there, you were young once.
I was young once. Smoking mad blunts, I had big fronts made out of gold and platinum. I was like, come get your thumb. Put the dragon, I was slashing with my samurai sword. I was never bored. I was fighting pterodactyls, fighting battles, slaying cattle. Well, that was the easy part, but you gotta eat. Cause we didn't have no mini mart down the street. But it's alright, we have plenty of heart. We never met defeat. You were tapping your feet when you heard the beat. And we started to speak, becoming so unique. Yo, we're reaching the peak. So, yeah, epic beats, come and speak up on the beat. And let me tell you what's happening. What's happening? What's happening? Slaying on the floor, coming in, rapping. Yeah,
what is happening? Gotta ask you a question. Could this have happened to them? Yo, it happened to me. It happened to my family tree. Chopping you down, putting you down in slavery. It's still the same thing that's happened till today. They gotta make them dollar bills. Yo, they come and take your family. They break down your door and I don't understand these things. It's too hard for me to comprehend sometimes how they come into my house and try to take all of mine. All of my own goods that I had controlled. But still they gotta take it and they tell you that it's more than you ever folded. But still the story still, gotta tell these people how it goes with the skill. I'm about to pass it back to Mowgli so he can get this. I meant to say this to the dude, yo. I can
Baloo, sorry, yo. I'm thinking of what you were talking about earlier.
Yeah,
I'm
sure.
I'm thinking of something else.
This is
an epic beat
playing right now on the
background. Yo, I'm a black guy in a white world. But I got a cracker smile and a cracker style. Come and check me while I'm cracking back on these niggas that be acting bad. Here it go once again, and I grab the mic and I grab the mic and cause a natural disaster. The fucking fire at my mouth is going down to the rapture. I'm fitting mad fucking raps, and yes, I'm the pastor. So lay down on the pasture while I attack you. Here we go again, spitting tornado winds. Everybody on my back, man, we never fucking sin. I'm a holy fucking man, come and stand next to me. And I don't worship nothing but the mirror that I see. Here we go once again, stop it right now before I go away. Marshall Simon, number 3, Baloo, here to stay.
Oh, that was dope, I was just saying.
You gotta tone the voice down, cause we keep spraying. We like the way it happens. But in the studio, it's like what happens, happens. And this shit is dope when it's happening. It's like what's happening now, or some other Nell Carter production. So give me a break and give me a Twix or a Kit Kat bar. Or maybe a Snickers, cause I snicker and laugh in the back of the classroom with my friends. Three melancholy gypsy musketeers, and I'm throwing tears for all you Rolos. Give me some more fruit roll-ups. Yeah, some Teddy Grahams so I can get down with Santana. Santana Moss is a matter of fact to the fact of the matter. Yeah, Tim Tebow's not a quarterback. He's more of a fucking blow-up doll. He ain't nothing, really. He's just sort of dead air, dense cloud, space nine. Yeah, it's like Lando Calrissian living in a place where my asshole is all greased again. You understand the streets just went?
Again?
Again, I mean twice. What can I say? I've lived a different life, and now I'm back like...
Does it involve Mike?
I got 100 grand from a candy machine, and when I came back, my Skittles had turned sour and green.
Oh, sour and green like green apple. Yeah, you know we're looking mad dapple. We're drinking Snapple outside of the 7-Eleven, cause we're in heaven, hanging out with my neighbor Kevin. I really got a neighbor by that name. It's alright, cause we hang out and we just play games like checkers and chess, or what the fuck ever. It's alright, I'll sever your aorta, I'll fold you up in half and then again like origami. I will predict your future like a Kwame. You're meeting your doom, step in the room, something so epic. Yeah, I'm the groom of the wedding with the universe coming unrehearsed with another verse. You better step back before I bust first. Got Harrison sword taking on a sword, or a board taking on a sword. Strike that, reverse it. Let me hit another chord. Unrehearsed shit coming out of my lips. It's alright, let me just step back and take another hit, bitch.
Tonight on Rips and Raps, the Whistling Diction Podcast, we have Epic from Band With No Name, and we have Baloo, and now special content from Rips and Raps.
There you are. You on the phone. Check it. What up? Whoa. Memphis Reigns.
Hey, what's going on, man?
D-Mitch in the house, too, right?
Hey, what's up? How's it going?
Chilling, man. You live in Albuquerque, actually. So what's up? We got you guys live in effect. We want to ask you some quick questions. Why don't y'all tell us a little bit about yourselves musically?
Hey, Dave, go ahead and kick it off, brother.
All right, well, I did most of the beats for the record. I didn't do all of them, but I did like 8 of them. And I usually just do production. I actually live in Northern Virginia, right outside of D.C., so it's where I do most of my work. And, you know, I've been listening to Memphis Reigns ever since the Scorpion Circle. When did that come out, 2002?
Oh, man, old school, 2002, I think.
Yeah, that's a classic. So, even I've been bumping that since 2002, that's right.
Appreciate it, man.
And word up. So you guys do all your stuff, what, over the internet? Like, you do it online? How do you do it? You guys link up in person? How do you do a lot of this work?
No, well, a majority of this album, well, I recorded in North Carolina. He was in Virginia, so, I mean, that was the only way we could do it. We were just passing files over the net, but he pretty much put the album together, kind of created the masterpiece, so, yep.
And this is the Skeleton Crew Diaries. What motivated you guys to kind of come up? And first of all, for our listeners out there, we will be playing some tracks for y'all to check out. We have two pre-selected for y'all, and we'll set that up in a minute. But again, what was the motivation for y'all to take it to that level? What's the Skeleton Crew Diaries all about? And, Matt, since you haven't said nothing, and since you're my boy, why don't you give him a little bit of something, man? Tell us what that's all about for you.
Well, man, like Dave was saying, man, we were doing I did the Scorpion Circle album in 2002. I took a break. Obviously, I joined the military, and I took a nice break in Afghanistan, about a 15-month vacation over there.
Sure.
And then I hadn't done music for a while, and I just kind of, you know, just got back, kind of missed it. And then I met Dave, actually, online, checked out his beats, and, that was pretty much the inspiration right there. Just not being able to do it in a long time and just hearing Dave's beats, man. It was money, man, just, you know. Kind of went together like that, but
I do like the marriage there. It's a marriage, it's a good one. Now you keep talking about Scorpion Circles. Now I know it. Obviously Dave knows it, but y'all, for those of us who don't know it, I mean, I believe you linked up with a cat named Genelec, and tell us a little bit about that for you, because I think you guys pushed that a little bit, that concept and that project. So tell us more about that.
No, absolutely, man. It was we were both at school in Santa Cruz. You know, I was obviously had my little group of guys who I was hanging out with. And likewise with Genelec, then, you know, we just kind of met up at a party. And, again, another marriage right there, man. But, yeah, we just always seen each other, you know, busting Cypress at the party. And, you know, we just kind of sat down one day and kind of decided, hey, man, let's do it, man.
That's a classic. So, that's classic right there for sure, man. Mad love on that.
Hey, thanks, brother.
You know, let me ask you too, Dave, where do you get your influences from? And I mean, those beats are, they're from what I've heard, from what I've listened to, the production is tight, but it's different. It's a little more ethereal. It's got more of a dreamlike feel, and maybe that's the idea of the album. What kind of motivates you to make beats, or what's your inspiration?
Well, I originally used to just do, I did a lot of punk music back in high school and early college years, and, you know, kind of a lot of derived from that. And usually just, you know, I used to play guitar. I always listened to hip-hop, but I never really you know, sat down and started doing beats until a couple years ago. And I worked with a buddy of mine called Spoonful, and he's from around this way. And he does, he's got kind of like a darker sound. And we used to get together and just make music, you know, lay down a drum pattern, usually just, you know, lay down some guitar over top of it or some piano. And it was all real mellow because that was more of his style. These were always the type of beats that I liked. So I kind of go in that direction. Whenever I grab a record, you know, there's always one or two tracks on there that are, you know, the slow jam kind of joints. And so I always, you know, lock onto those and listen to those. That's just the stuff that I enjoy listening to. So I guess it just kind of rubbed off on me on my style when I'm sitting there in the lab trying to create something.
That's always, I think that's, as artists, that's what we're all aiming for, right? We're striving to take what we've learned and what we've experienced and kind of put that into our work. So that's great. I want to listen to that.
I was watching Rush Limbaugh the other day. Doesn't Rush Limbaugh remind you of one of those gay guys who likes to lay in a tub while other men pee on him? Am I the only one? Can't you see his fat body in a tub while Reagan, Quayle, and Bush just stand around pissing on him, and he can't, his little piggly wiggly dick can't get hard. I can't get hard. Reagan, pee in my mouth. Well, how's that, Rush? Still can't get hard, so they call in Barbara Bush. She takes her pearls off, puts them up his ass, then squats over him, undoes her girdle. Her wrinkled, flaccid labia unfolds halfway down to her knees like some ballless scrotum. She squeezes out a link into his mouth. Finally, his dick gets half hard. A little clear bubble forms on the end with a maggot inside. The maggot pops the bubble and runs off and joins a pro-life group somewhere. Am I the only one that sees that, or I'm not? Thank God I'm not alone. Thank God I had the insight to notice Rush Limbaugh is a scat muncher. He munches scat. Jesus, Bill. So proud of that little dark poetry there. I came up with the word scat muncher, and it went from there, and I immediately thought of Rush.
Andando me o paseando, me encontré una gringuita. Me dice amo intensi, tu me vas la favorita. Me dice la coquetona, do you wanna go conmigo? Y yo como no era tonto, come on baby, yo te digo. Tipi-tipi-ti, tipi-ti, tipi-tipi-ton, tipi-ton. Toda la mañana, frente a tu ventana, canto esa canción. Tipi-tipi-ti, tipi-ti, tipi-tipi-ton, tipi-ton. Toda la mañana, frente a tu ventana, canto esa canción.
You tired? Right. Five inch talk energy. You want to be only halfway awake? Get on up with this. Tasty. No lube necessary.
And now, this.
What is this?
Welcome to Halftime.
Hi.
Rips and Raps, the Whistlin' Dixon Show. All up in your ear holes with our filthy, filthy mind tendrils leaking into your ears. Sorry about that.
If you like our show, send us an email at ripsandraps@gmail.com. You can always find us on Facebook. But again, now, we're playing on Podomatic.com every week, and we're also being syndicated at blogtalkradio.com/theliteraryunderground.
which is exciting. So
I'm excited. I got like half a boner.
You might actually be listening to us on the show right now. Right now, yeah. 5 inches, you mean?
Yeah, I got like 5 inches of energy left.
I did want to mention the analytics for the Blog Talk show is that we actually got roughly 700 hits on that event on that site this week, which is a phenomenal. Yes, we're moving. We're suckling upon the seed of a new direction, of a new mother. Right. Today's show we've had Blue in the house. Epic Beat from BNN is here. Mamadone Mecca, the show here in the Albuquerque area. This is Saturday, the 9th of March at the Dam Bar, Rio Rancho, on Unser, 300 Unser Boulevard. Come on out, chill with us and Jimmy Jupiter, DJ Lacrimis. I thought it was lactating breast at first, but it's actually Lacrimis.
Loki's probably going to be in the house, maybe. I heard. I don't know.
Rips and Raps is sponsoring the event. We should be there.
I think I'm probably going to be around.
Show up. When else do we have a show?
Well, why don't you tell them? This is epic. Tell them when we got a show, dog.
What is it? St. Patrick's Day of Earth Tiki Lounge.
Celebrate the luck of the Irish.
From 8 o'clock to 12 p.m., man, what do you say?
Okay, let's do it. And then, when we have another show at Elliott's on the west side, April 19th.
April 19th, and then April 20th.
So come and have a free party smoke session.
That Wings for Lab Rats will be at that show, yes. April 19th.
So we got a whole lot of wonderful, exciting extravaganza coming forth for you people out there in the land.
Yeah, that show will have Bowings for Lab Rats, Just Lazarus, Rough House Records, Rough House Entertainment, and then, Rough House, I don't even know. There's so many things that they do. And then, of course, Band with No Name. The show on St. Patrick's Day is a great one. It's got American Slang and Good Green, and it's at Bird's Tiki Lounge for all you 21 and overs. Come on out for free. Gardunio Glass in the mix. We're going to have our friend AC May doing some henna or some hyenas or some hyenas or something with an H, I forget.
Yeah, and keeping it in the ground. Big Blue coming out with this nigga Toasty right here. We're going to put down that album for Duke Squad, keeping it in the ground for us.
Right. We also have Toasty in the house. You heard him halfway through that first half. And these guys are
doing
their thing.
We'll get him up again.
Yeah, we'll have more time to spend with them. But, you know, it's all about meeting cats when you're out and trying to connect.
Yo,
while
y'all are listening to some podcasts, while you're mapping out your schedule of shows to go to, make sure you check out the Batwings for Lab Rats podcast for this week. Exclusive preview of music from the new Batwings for Lab Rats album that's coming out this spring. So that's like a world premiere. You gotta check that shit out.
Yeah, man. Batwings for Lab Rats currently being recorded at Elephonic Studios.
That is correct.
In conjunction, they're also releasing the new American Slang album, so Jesse and Jason have been busy. We now bring you Pod People, a weekly artist spotlight where we showcase artists we know and love in our community. This week, as I am wearing a thong, piece of underwear, I'd like to bring up my good buddy, Baloo, and Toasty in the house as well. Come on up here. You don't need the mic. We're just talking. You don't need headphones if you don't need them. Tell us a little bit about you guys real quick. Give us about a minute synopsis on who you are as crew, your philosophy, and like where to find you guys online, email, website, something.
All right, my name is Mark Luke Simon III. Check me out on Facebook if you're looking for anything I'm doing. This is Baloo. This is Toasty. We're working on Bomb Squad, which is our new group. We're also doing beats and collaborating with Bomb Squad Records. You'll be hearing about them soon. We're coming out. It's going to be a big deal. Freestyles all day.
These guys can definitely flow. Go ahead, man.
We're going to be doing our thing, hell yeah, if you want to come and, like, dip it up. Listen to
white Irish, black Irish, that's how we do it, man. All day.
It's
white,
the luck.
They're like
Irish.
A black and tan. like a real world fucking...
I think you guys should start a group called Ebony and the Blarney Stone.
Ying and Yang, it's not a joke, you know, it's not for real. I know this kid right here from 20 years now.
There you go.
Well, much respect. I met Mark out there, Baloo out there at Los Spirits of the Night, jamming in the corner, having a little cipher through Epic here, you know, introduced us as well. So it's all about the community trying to branch out. And right now you're listening, as a matter of fact, to an Epic production, the beat that's playing behind you. We're going to talk to him in a second. Before I let you guys go, tell him again where to hit you up online to find your music, or an email to hit you up if they want to book you for a show.
Oh, yeah. Hit me up at MarkSimon3, PTL, at yahoo.com. If you want to hook us up for a show, commercials, we don't care. We'll do anything.
These guys are hungry. That's what we're loving. And you're listening to Pod People. Up next on the docket, we got my man Epic.
band member of a fan with no name with a big member. Oh, wait. I don't know. Not, I've heard.
More than 5 inches.
Band with no member. Yeah, just 5 inches. So, as this is his production playing in behind you, he's going to tell you a little bit about himself on the mic.
Well, I've told you things before, but I might tell you a little bit more this evening.
Well, I told you about all the shows we have upcoming at Bird's Tiki Lounge in Elliott and the Dam Bar in Rio Rancho. So, personally, you can find myself Epic or Epic Beats, formerly, at either SoundCloud.com. He is, SoundCloud.com/heisepic. Or you can just personally hit me up on my personal email at epicbeatsnm@gmail.com. You know, we got a lot of good things coming out.
Yeah, you're working on a release beat.
Yeah, the
instrumental.
Official release date is April 20th on this instrumental album I'll be dropping. It's been a long time coming. It's going to be hopefully coming out April 20th. Like I said, Suspended Animation is the name. So get your ear to the ground like my boy was saying and just keep it coming. You know, that's what we're trying to do is establish a foundation and a unity throughout this culture of hip-hop since it's been that way since it started. So we're just trying to continue this legacy that our forefathers of this art form have brought to us. But I hear some cows in the background. They interrupted me. Man, I'm getting like sheeps and fucking baby chicks and shit everywhere. What the fuck is going on, bro?
Dude, we've been transported to the farm. You didn't see that happen?
Damn, dude. Yeah, it's like out of nowhere.
I just turned around and there was livestock everywhere. And they're loud.
I turned into Ronald McDonald or some shit.
They never seen someone time travel through dimensions before? What the fuck?
Call me Stewie Griffin.
I have, yeah.
I just like how those guys over there are, like, attacking the other guys. Like, the pigs and the cows just aren't getting along very well.
All those sheep want to do is fuck, though.
Oh.
It's a beautiful thing.
Oh, my God. That one just gave birth.
I like your sheep, Baloo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Keep them in check, you know?
I like your balls, Baloo, too. Like, Baloo balls.
This program is brought to you by Baloo balls.
Yeah.
Let me get a Baloo.
Welcome back to the show. It's the second half, yo. Epic's gotta go. But we gonna keep it going, keep it rolling, yo, yo. Gonna keep it blazing like a butt or a slip, yo. Let's keep it rocking right here. Rips and Raps, it's the podcast for your ear. Sit up on your ear or get up and dance around. It doesn't matter, just have fun, man, and feel this profound effect. You can go and down with the half bite, yo. You know we got it twice, 3 times, and it's nice, so good. Yo, let's keep it rolling now. Epic came to life. That sound that I'm really killing, son. You better get ready because I'm like Billy the Kid with a six shooter gun, not to spit out every last bullet and all these foolish MCs. But this is how it goes. We kick the killer beat MCs out of the session. You better get ready because Epic is bringing the aggression to every session. And yes, the parental expression advised. And I'm open your eyes every time that I'm spitting. I'm hopefully getting into your ears. So listen, you better get ready because I'm stopping my flow because I got that swagger. And these people know how we do in this music in New Mexico. Better get ready, cause we blow off the dome and these machetes will slice through the fucking beats and these dice getting thrown on the table. And you know every night I'll be going to Vegas and I'm betting my life on the table. And these people, they know how I'm a fable. But still, you gotta believe it. Yes, gotta see it. Gotta get my fucking dog and straight retrieve it. But I do this music and you need it to see the fucking cat coming next, right next to me. We be the best in peace. Repping this state of mind. Again, you better get ready cause we combine the vocal and the vocabulary. It's divine. So Loki, where you at? So we about to climb to the top of the pinnacle, dropping instrumentals in you. I'm about to go home and jot with my pencil. Yeah,
jotting with my pencil, mapping out how I'm gonna cut up a stencil. Picking lentils with utensils that I stole from the place down the road. Mister behind the counter with balls, I was enthralled by the way he was talking. Talking like Spock when he would open his mouth. He was logical, I was illogical, I was ill. Yeah, taking motherfucking pills, soaking them down and choking them. Yeah, doing
severed hit makes and the heat bring it. You know I'm feeling it.
You are listening to Rips and Raps.
You know I'm feeling old school, ready to put my name on the map. Not giving a shit, not giving a fuck, not giving a crap. I'm never pulling out a match, but I got the endeavor to pull out a fat stash and start blazing it up, sick hitting it, blazing the fuck that don't wanna be fucking battling the toasty, but you should know the most of me. I don't know what the fuck's going on, but man, I'll hit a straight bong with the song that be fucking making me feel like a champ.
Yeah, you're listening to Rips and Raps, the Whistling Dixon Show, kicking mad flows while you're eating your Cheerios, coming out of your stereo or your iPod. When you hear this, you might think that I'm God, I'm on
rap shit.
I got a lightsaber.
Yo.
Check it out, it hums.
You said that boom bap shit. Who's that dude with that smooth rap shit? It's that dude that's equipped with that boom bap click. Yo, I got the freshest flows. You better get ready, cause we reppin' New Mexico. This is the freestyle shit up off the dome, man. I never gotta act or pretend like I'm ill. Cause you know I've been doing this shit since I get killed. Like 10 samurai with my sword that I cop from a cop. Yo, that motherfucker's straight flop. This fucking straight dirty shit up on the table. So I had to go and tell you how it was when I was started spitting.
Yo.
But yo, my shit might not make sense sometimes, but I'm still on top of the beat, the rhythm. I'm hitting you with vocal, you know it's with precision. So I'm writing every sentence down on the paper. I'm spitting vocal at my heart. I'm hopeful and I'm going fucking global with my art. These people know Nick Fury, he straight played a part. And Loki, you'll know he's the god and he can cart a fucking shopping cart for Kmart and steal a lot of groceries out the back. And go and feed his family, and you know I'll sell a sack to every cat up on the block smoking on that crack. Cause you need to calm down.
Yo,
what the fuck?
Yo, he's got a jersey on like it says he wears an isotope. But we so nice and dope. Yeah. Punch your motherfucker, cast his way over joke. Yeah, this motherfucking lightning beat. Fucking around like these motherfuckers got these beats. But we ain't got nothing but this love for you. Spit a little hip hop and just got love for the crew. This fucking freestyle podcast is something we do every week. So you better get off your ass and smoke hash. Have fun with the blunt, roll it up and have a good time rolling on something nice. Yeah, I'm about to roll the dice. I give you my advice. I pay attention to the rhyme and the rhythm riddle. I pay attention to the last episode about Skittles. It was funny, Jessica Lopez was great. We had a wonderful time. We like to remember how fun it was. So tell him, Lo, what the fuck's going on while we so dope? Sometimes I'm reminiscing while I'm pissing. Y'all better hurry up and listen to slow down. Know what the beat gotta do, I ain't no sad clown. But I got a pocket and I rock it like a rocket. When I light it and it blasts off, you know I rock the shit like it's the Holocaust. Yeah, I'm just kidding, I ain't doing that at all. I'm just chilling at the mall and I'm in a free fall. Cause I jumped off from the third level to the first. Fell faster than the career of Fred Durst. You know that we're coming unrehearsed. When I burst sliding into first, it's diarrhea. Yeah. Like
diarrhea.
Later.
Diarrhea.
When you're sliding into first, and you
everybody
feels
something.
Diarrhea.
Diarrhea.
So you're sliding into second. You feel something about to break in your pants.
Yeah, real. 5 and I'm staying live. Niggas come around me and they see my nine. Katana side, I'm going down. I need to stop me in the town, cause I'm hella proud. Marcus Simon about to land it out. He's a bear, he busting out the zoo. About to fuck with all of you. What the fuck you up to? Here goes Big Baloo. And I'm puffing on the blunt, and my blunt never ends. And I'm going to the front of the door. When the cops knock and bring my fofo, and I blast to the cat back, nigga, oh no. I done sinned and I bring it back again. I'ma die 100 times from my own damn sin. Hold it down again.
Hold it down again.
You can't stand still like a mannequin. I'm the last man standing again, like Bruce Willis. Yeah, I'm able and willing to kill you motherfuckers if you wanna pull this. So check us out, every week we changes. We rearrange you with different faces and different angles. Video game anger is now displaced in droid planes flying from the sky. A waste of international security, the crucial
essential component of humanity is one by one, day by day, it's diminished little by little till there's no more left to play with, no array of this shit we were born with. Now we just automaton robots, grown robots, like yo, just electronic robots, soul with no soul.
Yo, this dude is talking on some sonic asteroids. This is what I do when I steady blast droids. I mean my cell phone, that shit had pissed me off. So I went and got a 12-gauge my startup. I put it down to the screen and on the fucking tablet. And then I started pulling clips back and steady blasted the fucking shit out of that piece of shit I had. And I threw it in the trash and I went and called my dad. Yo, I said, Dad, you got insurance on my cell phone? Cause I blew that shit up in my patio. Hell no, go and get me another one. I mean a cricket, cause that be the cheapest service that I can get with digits.
Hey, what'd you call your dad with,
Oh, yeah. Wait. Ding dong. This is when we expose rappers' flaws
like
in their freestyles.
I seen a payphone yesterday.
How the hell are you going to call him with the phone blown up, man?
I don't know.
Okay, man.
Well,
I was feeling kind of androidish.
I really hate to say it, but that is actually our show today here on Rips and Raps. It just goes by.
Over already?
I honestly thought there was one more song. There isn't, and we're out of time. Because now we're on a time limit for an hour. Because we are... we're going on the other end of Bud Smith show. I believe it's the Unknown Show with Bud Smith.
Yeah, make sure you tune in. What time is that on?
That starts at 5 o'clock every Tuesday, 5 o'clock Mountain Time, p.m. Then our show follows it at 6 p.m. Mountain on blogtalkradio.com/theliteraryunderground.
Yeah, listen. Tune in. Enjoy it. Smoke a big old bowl and kick back and
it's
touch
like
yourself
right
and
work.
Eat
perfect.
Some ice cream when you're done ejaculating.
Yeah.
It's gonna be great.
And make sure you know you put that auto asphyxiate yourself and like put
no, please
wrap your neck.
Yeah,
no,
whatever you got to do to get there for sure.
We were talking about that.
Were we
on your podcast?
Oh yeah, it's a dangerous thing.
We do
not like it from a personal experience.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Grab that 5-inch cock. Thank you so much, Elena Roche, for. 5 inches of cock energy. Shout out one love for the other 5 inches.
Princess
Pink. I mean, that nothing. Princess Pink, I meant. Sorry. Totally, that's all I meant.
Yo, you're blowing their cover like Clark Kent and shit. What the fuck, dude? How they supposed to save the world with impunity now? Right? What the fuck?
Well, they could call Toasty and Baloo. I mean, could they not?
As long as you got money, you can call me anytime.
Yeah. His number is area code 505.
$$. You can call me. I don't need your money. You want some free music? Hit me up, all right?
BandwidthNoName.
Yeah.
Bandcamp.com. Download our free music all day.
Yeah, make sure you check out Batwings for Lab Rats.
Yes.
We've got a new album coming out. Batwingsforlabrats.com. Find us on Facebook. All that bullshit.
It's not even the name just of coming the out. It's like emerging. It's an emergence.
Oh, don't forget cookbookrecords.com. Millions of free downloads. You could get like 8 different albums right now. And
millions?
Tuned. No, at least like... I said millions and then I said 8, so I corrected myself. So
a pretty big
about
between 8 and million.
8 million.
What happens after 8?
We got 9. The Street Cypher Volume 3, the international mixtape, where we feature producers and artists from all around the globe, from France, Africa, Europe, you know, your
Wait,
homegrown
isn't France
New Mexico.
In Africa? Isn't France in
I don't
Africa?
Know. Is it in
no,
Where'd
you
go
to school, man?
The crazy thing about Africans is French.
Exactly. So, that's what it is.
Yeah,
and a lot of Africans speak French because of, you know, well, European.
I got like 7 generations of my family from Africa.
Mad love.
That's called
Brack. Brack. Yeah.
That's...
Brack.
Yeah.
Or, Brack-se. Brack-se.
Once again, check out Band With No Name this upcoming Saturday, March 9th at the Dam Bar in Rio Rancho. Come back and see us again next Wednesday right here if you haven't started the show. Or if you're now streaming the show at blogtalkradio.com/theliteraryunderground, you can check us out tomorrow night on Wednesday night.
Don't
for our new episode.
About, dude.
Yeah, for our new episode.
Just come back next week, however you find
because
us. Make sure you...
Because if...
Huh? What?
What I'm saying, if you
what,
have...
What, Nick?
And then... You
try to be more clear. Hey, that's the end of the show, so...
All you have to...
I'll wrap it up.
Hey,
all
right.
Rippity-rappity.
Hey, but don't forget about Occupy.
Wait, no, but... Hey. But...
Occupy Underground... Well, Occupy-Underground.com.
Yeah.
Go check out our boys...
Ben and Corey and James and, of course, Mary. Occupy Underground Radio. That show's on blogtalkradio.com/Underground every Thursday.
So it's just a big
night.
Bye, everybody.
Pretty much.
And now we bring you the 30-minute rap workout in 5 minutes or less. This week brought to you in part by Lucky Charms.
What?
They're magically delicious.
Food.